This is a story that appears only in Luke's writing. It's in response to a question or a statement that was made in verse 2. The religion people of the day said, "This man welcomes sinners." And that was the criticism that had been railed toward Jesus. In response to that criticism, Jesus told a series of stories. One, a shepherd that lost one sheep. Another story that he told was of a woman that lost her dowry, and she sought it until she found it. And the longer of the story is the story of a father and a son's fractured relationship initiated by the younger son, who asks that the daddy would cash in his rider, give him what belonged to him as a portion of the estate. He took it, moved out of state and town, lavishly spent his money, and so fun outlasted his finances. He hits rock bottom, he goes and finds a job, he works in a place that is antithetical to everything that he knows as a boy, against all the teachings of his household. And then when he comes out of his spiritual lethargy, he says, "I'm going home. And maybe my father will hire me as a servant. I'm no longer worthy to be called his son." And so we call that portion the prodigal son. Prodigal is an interesting word. It means wasteful, it's excessive, but it's also extravagant. And so I want to tag that portion of the word's definition to the father, because the real prodigal is the father. This is a story for people who have a bad interpretation about God. This is a message that has been preserved in the scripture for the people that say, "God could never welcome a person like me to himself." This is a big, beautiful story. And it's unfortunate that we know it so well that we don't listen to it. As a reminder that God actually welcomes those who have walked away from him. And that's where we are now. It answers two questions. One, it answers the question of the prodigal father's reception of those who have rejected or left him. Two, it answers the question of the reaction of the father to those who have walked away from him and now are returning back to him. It's the two questions that people who think always ask. How will God receive me? How will God react to me? The question is pertinent and important because typically we assign to God's character the way we think. That when one has walked away from us, we say, "I ain't putting up with that." And so then we assign that part of our understanding of God to God. In fact, like the Pharisees, our biggest trouble is, how can God befriend a person that is a sinner? So it raises question. It is serious because religiously, it is difficult for us to believe that God can actually receive us like that. Now listen, this is the side of the street I work on. No day goes by that I'm not talking about some aspect of God's love toward his creation. And it is hard to get people to really accept these words. God loves you. They come with a series of questions. Well, how could God love me? You know, like you're the most unique person on the planet. But this is the big question. I went to church. I heard what that dude talking about. God loved me, but you know, if y'all knew, well, we don't want to know. That's no interest of us. We're talking about God and you. And he already knows. And he still says, and I love you. But the big word is not love this morning. It's a word called grace. Because if all God does is love us, then that's one thing. For God so loved the world, but he loved the world and the whole world not saved. But God's love in action sends him to the cross to die for your sins. And that is his grace. And grace is God can cover up the multitude and forgive the abundance of your sins. Yeah, okay. Well, I hear you. But Pastor West, I hear you. I hear you using that church talk. And that's right, I am using it because this is language that does belong to the church. You don't say that when you go to the courtroom. You want your attorney using that court talk. You go to the hospital, you want your medical doctor talking that hospital talk. When you come to church, then you ought to say, give me some church talk. Talk to me about who I am in Christ and what it looks like. So let me answer the two questions in this in the next minutes, 20 minutes exactly. You ready? Look how God receives those who come back to him. It's in verse 20. The father receives as the prodigal, or the prodigal father sees intently. That line in verse 20 says, and he saw him. This is those times for those of you who are here and you say, I want to read the Bible to understand it more. You don't have to go to divinity school. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible college. One thing you do is just read slower and pay attention to what is being said. And listen what it says. He saw him. You see it? This is just a tool for those of you who say, I want to get more out of the Bible. You know what to do. You just don't apply it to the Bible. You apply it to the field of work, but not the Bible. You think that your brain, it's just the way our brains function. He saw. What else did he see? Just a few minutes of Bible study, and then I'll just move right on. It's just to help you with tools of study, because people say, I don't get nothing out. Yeah, you get something out. You just move so fast that you don't meditate on it. He's telling a story of lostness, and now a son that is lost is coming home. Coming home, he says, I saw. Now you go up the verses. What else did he see? He saw a sheep wander from the fold, and a shepherd sought after the lost sheep. A coin heedlessly rolled away from a dowry. What did the woman do? Turn over the tables, take the shade off the lamp, and start looking until she found it. She started looking, seeing, watching. And Jesus uses the same language with the son that was lost is coming home now. And what does he say? He says he saw him when he came home. And this morning, God loves you so much that he's looking after you. Preach, Pastor West. But he feels deeply. He saw, verse 20, and with compassion. You know what compassion is? That's one thing I tell people to ask me about our church. I said, I love preaching to this congregation weekly. I never tire because you ask all the right questions. What is compassion? Compassion is getting in the skin of somebody else. Compassion is feeling. So these are not just words that Luke is using. He has already used these words in chapter 7 when a widow of Nain is taking her son's corpse to the cemetery. Jesus stops it because he's moved with compassion, and Luke says he felt what she felt. And then at the graveside of his dear friend Lazarus, Jesus weeps because he feels. And this morning, God is not some distant divine automation disinterested in your life. He feels everything that you feel, rearing your children, the career that you work, the world that you live in. God feels this. And then something else happens here. He receives him tenderly. When the son comes home who has been lost, the father does something. He throws his arms around him and he lavishes his face with kisses. You say, why did he do that? You know why he did that. He did it because it's an act of forgiveness. It is an act of a father taking an eraser and blotting out all of what has happened previous to this moment, and he receives him. This is not a story about something that happened to a boy 2,000 years ago. This is a story about what God is doing this morning in Houston, Texas, and wherever you are listening in your life, that he can blot out your transgressions. If you can't shout about that, and I always used to say, I'll say it to them, learn to shout at the right time. Don't have no cheap shout. It's good to thank the Lord. Because in all things, give him praise and give. I understand that. But don't let your shout register over only that which you can see. For that which you can see is temporal, but that which is invisible is eternal. Get you some stuff that you will rejoice about that people can't see over the counter. That's how God receives you. And receive that. This is how God receives me. One more thing and I'm done. But then how does God react to me when I come back? Because I'm glad that he receives me tenderly. I'm glad that he receives me intently. I'm glad that he feels deeply. But what is the reaction? Back up one more time and I'm done. And you see it really beginning at verse 22. 21 and 22 are happening in real time. The son is trying to confess his rehearsed speech, and the father ain't listening to it. You have to imagine that. Because he's been working out his speech that he's going to tell his daddy. You know, Dad, how I want to say this, Dad, let me see. He's looking in the mirror. Dad, do I want to call him Father? Hey, Pops. Now I don't want to trivialize So I need to say how I'm going to say it. So, Dad, now what tone am I going to say this in? You got to believe he's rehearsing this. Because he said, if I come back and I'm trite about it, he may not pay attention. So he's trying to work it out. And so a couple of things happen in this, and the son is coming up, and I'm not giving you it in order, and I'll show you in a minute. So the son is rehearsing his speech, and while he's coming home to Dad, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm going to try to get it out in a hurry. The father says, and this is how he reacts, quickly. Look at the, it's in there, verse 22. You see it? He says, quickly. So the whole setting now hinges on eagerness, quickly. Look at it, quickly, quickly. You know, without delay, hurry up, come on, quick. He doesn't give him time to rehearse his speech. He didn't give him time to, you know, to work it out. And then the father at the same time is not interrogating him. He's not investigating him. He's not humiliating him. He just said, quick, 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 go, go. Because there's something functioning in the head of the father. The father is looking at the son coming back. He says, quick, 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 quick. And then he works with generosity. That before anything happens, just between quick, bring the best. But before he puts what the best is, he says, quick, bring the best. Listen to me now. Quick, bring the best. He is functioning with a generosity. That is, he is giving to the son more than what he's asking for. All the son is asking for is to be hired as a servant. And the father is saying, I'm going to give you more than servanthood. I'm going to give you sonship. I'm going to give you not just salvation, but I'm going to give you justification, redemption, adoption, resurrection. I'm going to give all of that to you. And whenever you come to God, God is always giving to you more than what you have asked of him to do for you. I like this new school music, but I don't like it a lot. I like portions of it. There are one line in new school that says, if the Lord doesn't do anything else, I like that part. But you can have that, he done enough. Let me say it one more time. I like that part, if the Lord doesn't do anything else. I'm all right with that. But you have that, he done enough. And my reason for that is that if all the Lord's mercy is on yesterday, what I'm going to do for today, I need some old school. His mercies are new every morning. I need something that's going to walk with me, not last week. I don't need no last week mercy. I need some today mercy. You better hear what I'm saying. And that's why some of you can't rejoice. The last time you got happy is when you got baptized. But the Lord's been waking you up every morning since then. Great is thy faithfulness. And the rest of it, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Bless your heart. We'll just keep on living there. And you'll know exactly what I mean when you need some mercy every single day. Great is. One last thing. Now, you get what's happening? Quickly, quickly. Generosity, generosity. One last thing. And look at the dignity that he reacts with. Now, that's almost a contradiction or a paradox, because in the Orient, an old man would never be caught alive running. In this world, for an elder to run is undignified. But it's something about grace when it comes to your children, is that you put aside etiquette, formalities, cultural restrictions, because you're looking at your daughter that was dead and now alive, your son that was lost and now found, and you're not interested in anybody telling you what can and cannot. You're looking and saying, that which is lost has now been found. I'm almost done now. And so look at the dignity that he does. Pick it up, it's all here. He says, to show you what my dignity is, he runs to the edge of the street to receive his son. The son falls into his lap, into his arm. He hugs him, lavishly kisses him. The son is trying to eke out his confession. The father ain't listening to it. He's reaching back saying, quick, quick, go get the best. Then he said, go get my robe. And it was. I know he was saying, go get my robe. He wasn't talking about a robe. I know the father was saying, bring my robe. That is, put on my son, on my daughter, on my child. Put on them what belongs to me. Drape them in my grace. Give them that which is bigger than that situation. Give them what they need and put it on them. Wait, then he said, and bring the ring. Because the ring has the imprimatur of our family. It's our crest. It's a sign of our authority. Let him know he's all the way back home. He didn't say, well, go get your hair cut first. Shave that stuff all off your face. Go get cleaned up. He said, bring it all to him now. Show him that I can move him from disgrace to dignity. Show him that I can bring him from dirt to divinity. Show him. I can bring him from rejection to reception. Show him. I'm almost through now. And then he said, and put some shoes on his feet. And the reason for that is the only person that wore shoes in the house was the master. And now he said, put some shoes on his feet. Let him know he's no servant. He's my son. He has me all over him. And he has access to everything that belonged to me. God didn't say, I'm going to put you on a probationary period. He didn't say, I'm going to see how you work out in 90 days. And then we're going to revisit this and see how these going to work. He said, no, all I know is my son, my daughter, who's dead is alive, who's lost is found. Now come on home. One last thing, he said, but coming home ain't good enough. We got to have a party. Because church is a party. The kingdom is a party. God's fellowship is a party. And I don't like going to church with folk that don't like the party. Some of y'all, you can't drop it until you somewhere else. I want to make sure that I can celebrate God in his house. And for all of you that don't believe that, you ain't never tasted of God's grace. Because God's grace is better than any Chardonnay. God's grace is better than any beverage. God's grace is God's grace is a party. Yeah. Yeah. It's a party over here. And man, they started playing music, but you know, wait a minute, right in the middle before the party started, you got somebody in the house that can't understand. They said, now I done played by all the rules. I ain't never left home. I done everything. Every time I read that, I said, well, you should have left. But he said, and the father said, I'm not overlooking you. I appreciate you. I celebrate you. But look at your brother. Your brother been down in the pits, in the hog pen. He's stinky, he's funky, he is all dejected, he's messed up. This boy don't nobody want him around him. This your brother, don't be getting mad at him. Shout for him. That boy was dead and not alive and brought him to life. That boy was lost and God has found him. That boy was blind and God then gave him sight. You better join in here and shout. Have a good day. May God bless you real good. So when you come to God, know that a party is going on. But when somebody else come to him, start thinking about how we shouted when you came to God and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I'm trying to sit down. I don't want to go there, but my soul is happy when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord has done for me. My soul cries out. Have I got a company here? Hallelujah. Do you ever do that sometime? You turn the radio off, you're just riding in the car and you think yourself happy. You ever just sit around the house and say, I ought not be here, but by the grace of God, the Lord sure has been good to me. Listen, I don't know what you have to thank God for, but why don't you just take about 10 seconds? You ain't got to tell nobody. Just think about what the Lord has done, and you in your own way, whatever way it is, you give God praise. Now. Think about what the Lord has done, and however you give God praise, take about 5 or 6 seconds and give God praise this morning.
Thank you for watching our broadcast today. Now I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in a personal way. You can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you can be saved. Or today you can simply scan the QR code that you see on the screen or by calling the number that you see. After you give us your information, someone from the Church Without Walls will contact you. They're willing to pray with you and let you know how to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Church Without Walls broadcast. The Church Without Walls has 3 convenient campus locations. We are one family, always open to people of all races and backgrounds. We make it our mission to connect with others and be an example of the message of Jesus Christ in a loving and compassionate way. We'd love for you to join us.